The lecture I'm going to teach, A Gospel Vision for Biblical Womanhood, I don't pretend to be able to present this in a way like Martha Peace or Elise Fitzpatrick was. I don't have additional insight in regard to all of the rich things that they have. But what I do have is a meditation on 1 Peter, primarily chapters 2 and 3, that enhances our understanding of the passage you know and love, right? 1 Peter 3:1, wives, submit to your husbands without a word. I know when I say that, and that is the passage we're studying today. I know when I say that, here he's going to talk about, here's the token male coming in, talking about wives submit. I get that. I want to present it to you in a richer, deeper context in the flow of 1 Peter. I know at our church there's a lot of ladies that just love more in-depth Bible study, so my presentation may be a little bit more in-depth in that way. That's why you have a handout with all kinds of markings on it, right? So you should have a handout that didn't make the notes, but now that you can put them in your notes, that has the text of 1 Peter starting in chapter 2, verse 4, all the way through 3:18. Now look for just a moment on the back of that page with 1 Peter on it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. So they're disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. By the behavior of the wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, look down at the verse 6. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Frightened by any fear. I think Peter was recognizing something about the lady's position in life. He doesn't say this to the guys. Guys, don't be frightened by any fear. He says this to the ladies. I think he recognizes something especially unique in your more vulnerable position that I want to develop in the course of this lecture. Do not be frightened by any fear. In this world, since Genesis 3, women have always been in a more vulnerable position, even from the beginning of creation, when God designated a wife to be a helper. You know, a helper, you're a responder. You're not an initiator. So I am talking primarily to wives. Okay, so wives, you're a responder to the things that go around you. And by just the definition of that, that tends to place you in a more vulnerable position. I didn't say weaker in the sense of less valuable, but a more vulnerable position. And that vulnerability has become more intense now in a sin-cursed world with sinful males, okay? The males have made the woman's vulnerable position seemingly more vulnerable, especially by the male's abrogation of their responsibility to protect and provide for the ladies, okay? So women's liberation has liberated ladies from men's protection and provision, and the men tend to now just protect and provide for themselves, and they play with their toys and all that kind of stuff and leave the women out on their own. Your vulnerability has also become more intense because of the arrogance of men in assuming superiority over ladies. So those are the two ditches they go to that make your helper-responder position even more difficult. And I do believe that Peter recognizes that. Peter taps into that more innate sense of insecurity that many of our ladies have in a male-centered world. And I think, again, Peter recognizes that. Peter does seem to be assuaging the fears and the insecurity of ladies, and let's tease that out just a bit. In general, ladies, what are you afraid of? What are you insecure about? I mean, think through with me like this kind of list. How will I be provided for? And this does not undermine your own abilities to provide for yourself. My wife put me through college, through my seminary years, so she was an excellent wife. She made more money in the job that she had while I was in seminary than I made through my first 8 years of ministry, okay? So she is a provider, okay? She's not going to tell you that, but she was a great helper in that regard. But questions like, how will I be provided for in a man-centered world? If I marry, what will prevent my husband from leaving me? When I have 12 babies and don't look as nice anymore, I mean, what's going to happen to me? How will I protect myself? If I gain weight, will he leave me? How will I raise and take care of kids if he leaves me? If my car breaks down, will I be safe? When I walk alone, will I be safe? I mean, I have never have the thought in my mind necessarily, except if I'm walking in the heart of New York City or Chicago, will I be safe? But I know some of you ladies, that may be a more innate fear in your own life just because of the way of your position in life is. So I understand that. Why is it that women have these concerns? Well, because of men. Men, okay, there it is. We put it out there because of men. But from where ultimately does our security come? And that's where I want to begin to develop a gospel vision for biblical womanhood from 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3. If you will, please, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. So, front of that page of all kinds of notes that you have there, front of the page there, and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And I have highlighted Peter's repetitious themes. Peter, if you studied Peter, Peter's not quite like Paul. And I didn't recognize this until I studied this past semester, and our church did a study on 1 Peter. Paul writes very sequentially, thought after logical thought, thought after logical thought. Peter seems to do a more repetitious thought. So he says something, and then he comes back to it, and he says it again, and he comes back to it. And that's why, for me, it helps me. It may not help you. If it doesn't help you, don't worry about it. It helps me to have highlighted the repeated themes in chapters 2 and 3. And here's what I did for you. Anything that is underlined is the pattern of Jesus Christ. Anything that is underlined in chapters 2 and 3 is the pattern of Jesus Christ. Anything that is bold is the concept of do good. Do good, do good in your behavior. Anything that is highlighted is our favorite term, submission. Okay, I know it's our favorite term, but he doesn't apply it first to the ladies. He does not. He does not. Okay? Anything that is circled is the concept of fear. Okay, fear that ladies might have about people or circumstances, or an appropriate fear and trust in God. So anything that I circled is some way related to fear of circumstances or things or fear of God. Anything that is all caps is God's promised results of following Christ's pattern and the believer following his pattern. So the promised results, these are the things that I look for in the future that gives me hope for even continuing doing what he's saying here. So in that regard, that hopefully will be a Bible study kind of flavor for you. And now, with that in mind, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There are two issues here. Who is Christ and who are you? Okay, it's all about who is Christ and who are you. So who is Christ and what is your identity? Who is Christ? How does he begin to characterize Christ here? Who is Christ? Some kind of a stone. Okay, some kind of a stone. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the cornerstone. Cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? Salvation. Foundation, okay, foundation, sustaining, but there's something more to it than a foundation. Okay, if there's a cornerstone, let's say that this is the foundation of the imagery here is the temple. Okay, so the Old Testament temple where God's physical presence and glory, his Shekinah glory, dwelled. So let's assume that this is kind of like the temple foundation. I lay a cornerstone right here. So this square that I'm standing on, it is a massive stone. Is it the entirety of the foundation, though? Of course it's not. That's not.